Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. The rising costs of housing are hitting communities across the country. It's an issue our region has been struggling with for decades. According to data from local real estate and housing agencies, the median home price on Martha's Vineyard is $1.5 million, and on Nantucket, a whopping $2.5 million. These prices make it nearly impossible for everyone but the extremely wealthy to afford home ownership or even rental housing. There are a variety of housing assistance programs across the Cape and Islands, and today we look specifically at a housing model that holds the land trust and enables deed-restricted home ownership to residents. This model has been in existence on the Vineyard for a decade and is just getting started on Nantucket. Joining us to talk more about the ins and outs of the land trust is Philip Jordy, CEO of Island Housing Trust. Welcome back. Good to see you.
Good morning, Mindy.
And Tucker Holland, Executive Director of Nantucket Land Trust. Good to see you again, too.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so we talk in general terms about the high cost of housing in this region, but can you help listen understand the scope of the housing affordable issue on the respective islands? And Jordan, we'll start with the Vineyard.
Okay. Well, it's certainly probably the biggest issue that we're facing on Martha's Vineyard. As you mentioned, our median sale price is $1.5 million. That represents a 120% increase over the past 10 years alone. So it's really created, along with the increase in short-term rentals, which has increased by 140% over the past 10 years. An unattainable situation for people who are trying to purchase a home or even find a rental, as you'd mentioned. And it's not just impacting low and moderate income residents, but also middle income family, working families on the island.
Yeah. Tucker, what about Nantucket?
Mindy, so today the median home price on Nantucket is $3.1 million. The average home price is $4.3 million. Last year, you had to be earning seven times the area median income to afford the median home. No one can work seven jobs. It's just not practical.
Yeah. Philip, explain how the land housing trust model works.
So the community land trust is a national model, and we've used it on Martha's Vineyard now for close to 20 years, whereby the land is held in trust for the community, and our nonprofit manages that relationship between the homeowner and the Island Housing Trust. It's a way for people to attain affordable year-round ownership opportunities by eliminating essentially or lowering the cost of purchase by eliminating the land cost. And then we are able to raise grants and donations to help cover cost of the construction costs. So in exchange for all of that, we enter into a 99-year ground lease with restrictions in terms of resale and rental. And should the family decide that they want to sell, they have to sell it to a qualified family at an affordable price. So it remains affordable in perpetuity.
Yeah. And how much turnover do you have?
We don't have much. We have about 75 homes right now on land trust land, and we've had maybe a handful of homes sell over time. We've had one foreclosure, and that's an important point. So because of our relationship with these homeowners, we have the ability to step in should someone default on their mortgage and purchase that from the bank. We're in a unique position to be able to do that and then resell it without losing those restrictions. And we're also able to help homeowners who are struggling. So in some cases, we've been able to work with banks to refinance and save, make it possible for them not to lose their homes.
So they're paying for the homes, not the land.
Correct.
Yeah, and they're not paying like a rental fee on the land, or are they?
They do. They pay a nominal $50 a month, and that's a way for us also to gauge their financial situation. If they're not paying us, then there could be bigger problems, and that's when we reach out and we discuss, what may be a problem, and work with them. So we have a longer leadway than a lot of other models. For instance, a deed rider, it's something that's held and recorded by maybe a town or, in our case, the Dukes County Regional Housing Authority. But you're only alerted to that at the moment when that property is in foreclosure and you risk the possibility of losing those restrictions that the community invested in.
So you mentioned 75 houses. You have 75 families right now?
We do, yeah.
Tucker, you are not new to this issue. You've worked on affordable housing on Nantucket for some time, including the town of Nantucket. What prompted you to form and start this Nantucket Land Trust, and why did you choose the land housing trust model?
Our other guest inspired me to look at this. No, in all seriousness, really value having gotten to know Philippe over time in my role as the housing director for the town of Nantucket. And one of the things that I recognized was that we were missing an ownership vehicle for what we call attainable housing. So we have some folks doing great work in the traditional affordable housing realm, the federal definition, 80% AMI and less, but very little in the zone just, you know, above that. And you can imagine there are a lot of folks like teachers, nurses, firemen who don't qualify for the traditional affordable housing, but are vital parts of our community. So we in my work with the town, you know, recognized we had a missing piece in the puzzle, and there's no one entity that is going to solve the problem. It takes a dozen different solutions. So this is one that we're adding to the toolbox. And I liked what Martha's Vineyard has been able to do with it. And so we're trying to replicate that and learn from each other. The islands have really developed a great working relationship on housing.
Yeah. Philippe sits on the Nantucket Land Trust board. Have there been collaborations between the islands on housing in the past, or is this something new?
Well, a big recent collaboration is a full court press to get the transfer fee, real estate transfer fee, to benefit housing. And so there's been very close coordination between Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket and the other municipalities, particularly on the Cape, that see this as a vital funding source if we're really going to, you know, crack the nut on the solution.
All right, since you brought that up, I was going to bring that up later, but let's talk about that right now. So the real estate transfer fee, homeowner petition, it's failed in the legislature in the past, right? So once again, there's a push for it, and there was a hearing, was it yesterday?
Yes.
In Boston?
Mm-hmm.
And both of, Philippe, you were there, right?
Yes.
So tell us what this is, you know, how has it changed that it might pass this time when it hasn't passed before?
Well, there were several home rule petitions that were filed by Representative Moakley and Senator Sear, specifically for, in this case, Martha's Vineyard, but Nantucket also had its home rule petitions, as have other towns on the Cape. In the case of Martha's Vineyard, it's to create the Martha's Vineyard Housing Bank, and that would be funded through a real estate transfer tax of 2%, and that would be any sale or be taxed for any sale over $1 million. So we are hoping that because of our unique situation, and I was mentioning to you before the show, we've been designated as a seasonal community now by the state under their, it was just legislation that was passed last year called the Affordable Homes Act. So based on that unique designation, we're hoping that this bill that we filed will see the light of day and be voted through so that we can help ourselves. I mean, we're really not asking for state support here. We're only asking for the state to allow us to raise funds in a way that's going to help us solve this problem. And I think what's important about it is that the state does have resources and we have used them, but we can't build our way out of this situation. We have to be able to repurpose our existing housing stock, which I think I mentioned before, 60% of our housing stock is only used partially, you know, whether it's a couple months or a couple weeks of the year. We need to be able to have and we're losing that. So a lot of our year-round housing stock, as you can imagine, if you're retiring after 30, 40 years as a teacher, you bought that house for, you know, $200,000. Now you're selling it for $1.5 million. That person replacing you in school in that school system is not going to be able to buy your house. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be sold to an investment property interest or to a second homeowner. So what we're going to be doing with this important source of permanent funding, local funding, is be able to use that to purchase restrictions that can make it possible for that to be only used as year-round housing, for instance.
Mm-hmm. And has it worked the same way on Nantucket?
Yeah, it would be implemented in the same manner that Philippe was talking about. And transfer fees we have seen on both islands have been a very successful revenue source. Our land bank on Nantucket has generated over $500 million since inception in 1984. And no negative impact on real estate prices, that's for sure.
What has been the opposition in the past to this?
The leading opposition in the state is the Massachusetts Association of Realtors. Having said that, local realtors on Nantucket have been very supportive of getting this done, to the extent that they have actually paid for a strategic consultant to try to get this passed at the State House.
And so do you think now, and Nantucket also has been deemed a seasonal community, do you think with this new category, do you think that's going to help? I mean, are you hopeful? I mean, you're hopeful it's going to pass, but do you think it might pass this time?
I'm optimistic. The governor was on Nantucket a couple of weeks ago, and this obviously was item number one when it came to housing. And we talked with Governor Healey about the fact that the bond bill last year, part of the Affordable Homes Act, was historic, $5.5 billion. But if you break it down on a pro rata basis for the 351 municipalities in the state, that's $16 million, which is not going to really move the needle. In Nantucket, voters have been very supportive of funding for housing. They have approved over $150 million over the course of the last 7 years. But we have a $1 billion problem. So we need this reliable source of revenue. And the seasonal communities designation gives an avenue to the legislature to do something for communities that just are different than other places. If you think about Chapter 40B and the ability for developers to do projects, if you that have some affordable housing benefit. But if you think about a place like Needham and there is a 40B project being done, obviously the affordably restricted units go to local folks who meet the criteria. And by and large, you would imagine that the market rate units that are part of the project are being sold to folks who live and work in the area. Totally different on the islands. The affordable units, of course, go as planned, but the disparity in price is $200,000 versus $2 million. Those $2 million market rate homes are not going to locals.
Yeah. And you know, we're also talking about home buying, but the rental situation is also just as bad. And I was thinking, it was a few years ago, it was just before COVID, because it was when we were still doing pub nights. We were over on Nantucket and we were in one of the coffee shops, and the girl behind the counter had a necklace on that said, "I need housing." And we followed her story, and she did not get to stay on Nantucket. Mm. She could not find housing and she had to leave. And I'm sure that's probably true on both islands for a lot of, like we say, you know, not just the restaurant people, but, you know, firefighters and teachers. And I mean, it's getting harder and harder.
It is. And I know that woman, she was fantastic, but it's an all too familiar story. And, you know, when you lose someone in their role in the community, say there was a police officer a few years ago, obviously contributed in great ways in his professional life, but he also was an excellent hockey coach. And so you lose more than just that job.
Yeah. 866-999-4626 is our number if you'd like to join our conversation. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point, and we are talking housing this morning. We're looking specifically at a housing model that holds the land in trust and enables deed-restricted home ownership to residents. We're talking about this on both islands, Vineyard and Nantucket. With us is Philip Jordy, CEO of Island Housing Trust, and Tucker Holland, Executive Director of the Nantucket Land Trust. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Philippe, what makes someone eligible to participate in Island Housing Trust programs, and is there a waiting list?
Yes. We serve actually a range of incomes. So what's referred to as low, moderate, and middle-income working families earning up to 140%. And just to give you context, that would mean either an individual or a family earning between $31,000 and $210,000 on the Vineyard. And obviously that depends on the family size. We currently have about 1,300 households or families that are on our wait list for rental and ownership. That is, you know, if you break it down, about 3,100 island residents, you know, because many of those are families, which represents about 15% of the overall population, year-round population, being about 20,000. So there is a tremendous need when we have opportunities, which we will be offering shortly. We have a neighborhood of 40 homes, four ownership and 36 rentals, which will be offered in the coming months. We probably will see as many as 10 applicants per apartment or home.
And so how do you determine when you have the 10 applicants? Is it like a lottery system or is it eligibility? How do you do that?
It is, yeah. So you have to be income qualified. We do provide some local preference for town residents or people who either work or have their kids going to school in that town during the initial lottery process, which involves just that. So people's names are put into a hat and literally pulled.
Wow, because you see, holding your breath, waiting for that name to be pulled, right? So give us a sense of the cost for the homeowner and how this, we mentioned you're not buying the land. So what are we talking about as far as cost? I imagine it's different for different houses, right?
It is, depending on the household side. But typically, we're building 2 and 3 bedroom houses that range from $250,000 to $500,000. The cost of construction has really soared by probably, 30 or more percent over the past 5 or more years, certainly during COVID, but now with a lot of uncertainty around tariffs and so forth. So we're looking right now at a total housing cost of, not including land, mind you, of $600,000 to $700,000. So we're making up that difference of $200,000 to $400,000 through donors, generous donors and foundations, as well as town public funding through the Community Preservation Act.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the deed restriction on the homes. So what happens if someone wants to sell? How is that price determined?
It's based on an affordability calculation. So the definition is that a household shouldn't be spending more than 30% of their gross income on housing costs.
Right. Tucker, how much of the Island Housing Trust model do you hope to emulate, and how might your program differ?
The basic principles would apply to what we're trying to do on Nantucket as to what has been done on the Vineyard. We are being formed under a particular provision of the IRS code called lessening the burdens of government. So in a lot of traditional housing nonprofits, they're making a commitment to 75% of what they're going to do going to the traditional affordable level housing, 80% AMI and less. We're different. We're going into this with a little more latitude in order to serve some of the folks that we talked about a few moments ago.
So how do you determine what or where to build in terms of single-family homes, clusters of homes, or apartments? How do you decide?
What's been very popular in what we've done in housing the last few years in Nantucket is what we call scattered site development. So we're not looking necessarily for one large parcel to do something on a grander scale, but we're looking to do things that fill-in neighborhoods that are sprinkled around the entire island. And so, as an example, right now, we're looking at a collaboration with a conservation organization, our local affordable housing trust, and the land trust. And that is a model that Philippe has been doing on the vineyard with their land bank.
Yeah, it's got the same thing. Only so much land, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a scarcity on the island, and it drives the price of everything. As Tucker mentioned, we've been working in partnership with island towns over the past 19 years, as well as nonprofits, and we've found that that's been a great way of creating more opportunity, support, and serving the island directly. So the towns have been very generous in terms of identifying and making land available. Typically, we have been doing what's referred to as pocket neighborhoods, more dense little neighborhoods of, say, anywhere between 6 to 12 homes. We often do duplexes, so maybe just 6 structures. And we often have the ability to do that through local zoning. So whether it's a multifamily zoning bylaw or it's going through the state's 40B comprehensive permit process, but we do it in a friendly way because all of our homes are going to be restricted and affordable, is the way that we've really been able to succeed. We feel that those type of partnerships with the municipalities, with other nonprofits, we've actually now working with the Vineyard Transit Authority. They're a public entity. So we didn't talk about this, but the seasonal communities designation also allows us to be able to provide ongoing preferences for municipal employees and public sector employees, which is very important. In the past, you couldn't do that.
I was going to say, yeah, that's a big difference from what the rules used to be, right? Yeah, yeah. So has zoning been an issue?
Well, as I mentioned, between the towns and certain towns who have enacted multifamily zoning bylaws that allow for higher density development while preserving open space, as well as 40B, we've been able to create the housing that we've done. There are new provisions in the state law that allow, for instance, for accessory dwelling units to be developed or built by right. So any property now can build an accessory dwelling unit as long as it meets setbacks and other zoning requirements and Board of Health requirements. And
don't you have to be a year-round, though? Don't you have to be a year-round resident?
So in the case of the Vineyard, yes, most of the towns did pass that provision, and it restricted the use to year-round occupancy or rent if they should be renting it. So that's important. That's an important distinction because we do have a lot of short-term rentals. I was mentioning to you before, we have some 4,000 rentals on the island, which is an increase of about 140% over the past 10 years. And we don't need more of those. But there are other provisions, too, that I think are being discussed, and you can see them across the country. For instance, the ability to do a duplex by right. So most of what we have, about 98% of our housing stock, is single-family homes. So if we're looking to repurpose existing homes and make sense of that financially, being able to create a duplex from a single-family house is one way of doing it. And to allow for that by right is something that is being discussed.
Yeah.
Maybe not on the Vineyard quite just yet, but we are going through what's called the housing production plans in each town. They're identifying what their needs are and strategies to achieve that.
What about zoning on Nantucket?
Zoning has been very favorable for the creation of housing on Nantucket. For a number of years, we have had multifamily by right, accessory dwellings that are restricted to year-round use. And that's actually part of the argument we make at the State House about the transfer fee. We're using all the zoning tools that are out there, and it's just not enough.
Mm. And what's the short-term rental market like on the – I imagine very similar to
the Vineyard.
Yeah. What about competing for open space? You might be looking at some land, and I'm sure open space people go, well, we want to have open space. And is there some friction there?
So on Nantucket, our land bank was started in 1984, and between all of the conservation organizations, the Nantucket Conservation Foundation is actually the largest on the island, but collectively they own well over 50% of the land that makes up Nantucket, and only 3% of the land is undeveloped. So it is a question that is starting to be asked regularly around the island, sort of what is the end game on conservation?
Mm-hmm. What about the vineyard?
So the vineyard is very similar. We have the Martha's Vineyard Land Bank, and we have had success working with the land bank in terms of joint purchases. So in some instances, for instance, we would purchase a 15-acre piece of property. We would sell development rights or restrictions on a portion of that. Typically, like in this case, we have a situation where we sold 10 of the 15 acres, and we built on the remaining five acres. And it was actually important because in that particular situation, we didn't have the public infrastructure. Or there was no town water or sewer. So we had to create that on site. And the ability to have that open space made it possible for us to be able to permit that. Not necessarily physically putting it on the conservation land, but the land itself gave us the credits we needed to be able to do that work. So what we refer to as conservation-based affordable housing is a model that we've used with our land bank. We're actually going to be hosting the Nantucket Land Bank and advocates from various housing organizations to the vineyard this coming month and showing some of the examples that we've done. We certainly are looking to do more of those and more frequently, but there has been success, and it's something that we have showcased regionally and even nationally.
How often, you mentioned, you know, maybe taking a single family home and making it into a duplex. So how often can existing housing stock be used, or are the prices just so high that's really not always an option?
So what we've been able to do creatively is a combination of repurposing, as you'd mentioned, a single-family house into a duplex. In fact, we had this one wonderful example where a gentleman who had more house than he needed was looking to downsize because as he was getting older, sold us his property, kept his guest house, and then we took his main house and converted it into a duplex. Ooh. So now, not only was he able to take some of his asset out of the property and be able to use that to for whatever reason, you know, for whatever purpose, but he also now created a nice little pocket neighborhood of two young families. So that's just an example of how we were able to make sense of what we otherwise wouldn't have been able to purchase.
Yeah. One thing I think a lot when I think about Nantucket, some of these houses that have been moved, you know, somebody comes in, they buy this, they don't want that house, they want to put up their own house, and then sometimes you're able to move that house. Is that something that you're looking at continuing to do, or is it too expensive?
We're looking at a project just like that right now.
And so I don't think people realize how much is involved in moving a house. I mean, it's got to be structurally sound, but what are you looking at when you determine if a house can be moved or not?
Well, one is the path to get it from where it is to the site where you want it to go. There are limited roadways. There are lines you have to consider in terms of overhead, and they're narrow, forested on either side road. So there are a lot of considerations that go into it. And of course, the condition of the building itself. I mean, it is always a question you evaluate. Is it going to be more cost effective to move, or is it more cost effective to build? But we like to move homes whenever possible.
That's kind of a win-win because to demolish that is very expensive.
Exactly.
So I imagine you might maybe get a good price on getting to move one of those houses. Right?
Yeah, there's an organization, a family foundation on Nantucket called Remain that really has been promoting, the deconstruction and reuse of homes.
Yeah. Home ownership, of course, can be expensive. In addition to mortgage, there's taxes, insurance, and maintenance, utilities. Talk about sustainability and efficiency in the building and remodeling and how this can help reduce future costs for homeowners.
It's really been a focus and priority of ours to create homes that are not just affordable, but truly affordable in the sense that it's not just affordable to purchase, but it's also affordable to maintain heat and cool. So what we've been doing in terms of all our new construction, but even when we're doing renovations, is making sure that there's high performance built into those designs. And we'll typically have what's referred to as super insulated walls, additional insulation, and airtight construction. That also includes proper ventilation 24/7. That creates a healthy home. These homes are 100% electric, and we offset that with solar panels in many instances. So we can achieve essentially what's referred to as zero net energy home by doing all of this, really driving down the energy use and thereby the cost of heating and cooling the homes.
Is that something you're looking at too, Tucker?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. 866-999-4626 is our number. If you'd like to join the conversation, you have a comment or a question, 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org, and we'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking housing this morning. There are a variety of housing assistance programs across the Cape and Islands. We're looking specifically at a housing model that holds the land in trust and enables deed-restricted home ownership to residents. With us is Philippe Jordy, CEO of Island Housing Trust on the Vineyard, and Tucker Holland, Executive Director of the Nantucket Land Trust. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. You sort of touched on this, Philippe, but what are the current funding sources for you to be able to do all this?
There's quite a few. In terms of ownership, it is more limited. We rely on the generosity of our donors, and then we use that to leverage town funding through the Community Preservation Act. So those are the two sources that we use for ownership housing. When we develop rental housing, there's competitive state grants and financing that we apply for as well, which can be fairly substantial depending on the size of the project.
Yeah. How about, Tucker, what about you?
Yes, we are supported with seed capital from Remain, which I mentioned a moment ago. It's a Nantucket-based organization that supports the island's year-round community through investment, philanthropy, and strategic partnership. We also work with our local community foundation and, of course, our Affordable Housing Trust.
Yeah. Has there been pushback in the community against the creation of attainable, affordable housing? And if so, what's the argument against it? I would think everybody would be for it, but I imagine there's some people who you get some pushback from, right?
Yes, we have, not in my backyard or NIMBY. I think it's a reality everywhere. I must say, though, in terms of the voters, when there are various initiatives, whether it's zoning or funding, it's overwhelmingly it's a supportive environment. When we're actually proposing something in a particular neighborhood or area, we often will see people coming out and voicing their concerns, and we have both an island-wide permitting process as well as a local town-specific permitting process. So people have certainly plenty of opportunity to voice their concerns. And we're very interested in meeting with people to explore what possible solutions we can find in terms of site design and what we do. I would say that, you know, over the past 19 years, we've built dozens of neighborhoods, and they really serve as a model. So what we often do is ask people to actually go and actually look to see what we've done as a way of deciding, you know, whether that's something they could live next to.
So is it, I'm thinking it's partly not knowing, right? So education is key into the uncertainty of what's going to be there. So it's kind of more maybe of a fear thing. And nobody likes change.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, people didn't come to the Vineyard to to see change, right?
They want to stay the same. Change, yeah.
So as we start out on Nantucket, Mindy, the former president of the Conservation Foundation, when I first got involved with housing work, I had gotten the three heads of the conservation organizations together to understand what their goals and objectives were. I wanted to share some of my thinking. I wanted to get their thoughts about where housing may be appropriate. And they said, well, this is great. No one from the housing world has ever talked to us before. And I'm like, really? You're the three largest landowners on the island. So one of the gentlemen, a guy named Jim Lentowski, was the head of the Conservation Foundation, and he said something very prescient to me. Tucker, whatever you do, the first thing, make sure it's good, because everyone is going to drive by and say, that's what you're going to get more of.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Very.
Absolutely. So what about you mentioned the 75 families. What about rental? What's the rental situation? How are you helping renters, and what does that look like?
Well, rental housing has taken, I would say, almost a disproportionate focus on the island ever since the last recession. We were doing mostly ownership housing prior to that, and now we do the vast majority is rental, including right now, as I was mentioning, 36 rental apartments in the town of Edgartown, and we've just broken ground on another neighborhood of 60 rentals in Oak Bluffs. So it's going to double really what we've done in terms of rental housing to date. Most of what we've done has been smaller in scale. In some cases, we've repurposed existing properties. We've had an instance where we purchased two inns and renovated them. In one case, we're renting it to the hospital, the Martha's Vineyard Hospital, for their employees. In the other case, we're working with our housing authority to rent those apartments to people that are income qualified.
Yeah, boy, being an employer of a lot of people, that's got to be tough, right? Yeah. And how big of a wait list do you have for people who want rental housing?
For rental housing, we have some, I was just calculating the other day, some 884 households, so individuals as well as families that are on wait lists across the island. And that doesn't even include our elderly housing.
Oh, wow. Okay. What about Nantucket?
It's a comparable number. So Housing Nantucket, another island nonprofit that focuses on housing, keeps a ready-to-rent list. And I believe presently they have over 500 families on that list.
Wow. Yeah, a lot of people are familiar with that seasonal shuffle, right? You get a winter rental, but you got to get out in the summer, and then where do you go? And it's getting harder and harder for people who do that, right?
Very.
Yeah. There might be listeners who are thinking, if it's too expensive to live on the island, maybe you should find another place to live, right? But teachers, firefighters, healthcare providers, these are some of the folks who can't find housing. So Tucker, talk a little bit about how not having that housing how that changes the community. You sort of touched on it a little earlier.
Well, there's some very practical things. We recently had a situation where we had full-time firefighters who did not reside on the island. So, I mean, that's a safety risk, of course, and not acceptable.
One of them lived in Lowell, I think.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And they're great folks, very dedicated, and obviously they're on the island for their shift, but something comes up like the big veranda fire that we had a few years ago, and our fire department did an outstanding job, but they actually were supplemented by firefighters who happened to be on the island vacationing.
Oh,
like,
wow.
So it's not really a strategy, but we certainly were grateful for their assistance.
Yeah. What about, are you seeing any changes that are impacting the community on the vineyard because of people not being able to find housing?
Absolutely. So we have our largest employer, the hospital, that has unfilled positions. I think approximately 20% of their 600 or so employees, which is a real concern for people who need the services, medical services, and so forth. That's an example of a critical service that is essential to the island that's being compromised. But we see it throughout. I mean, if you look at municipalities, you know, being able to attract and recruit employees is becoming more and more difficult. And they're being forced to, like many businesses, create their own housing.
Right. It's tough too, because you know you've especially families who've been here. You know, you grew up here, and you want maybe your kids and your grandkids to stay, and they can't afford to stay, and that can impact the second home market, right? When your kids and your family are going elsewhere, maybe you're going to go elsewhere too. I don't know.
Possibly, but that's where the land trusts can step in. And so here's a real example, Mindy, where there was a family that was very well intentioned, wanted to have a property they owned go to serve the year-round community. They had a separate property where they enjoyed their time on the island, but they had some land that they realized we're never going to need this. And had it been sold in the open market, it would certainly have gone to become a summer seasonal compound. But they were tuned into the year-round need and came to us and said, hey, we would like this to go for this purpose. And we talked to them about the bargain sale part of the IRS code that allows some tax benefits. And we asked if they were familiar. They said no. We said, go talk to your trusted tax advisor because we can't give you tax advice. And we said, after you talk to them, come back and tell us what you can sell it to us for. So they went and got an appraisal. It was over $2 million for the property. They talked to their tax people and they came back and said, well, we can sell it to you for $1.2 million and be just as financially well off. So that's another part of the whole equation of land trusts that make it possible to provide these home ownership opportunities.
And I guess educating people of what the possibilities are, that's a big job in itself as well.
It is. It's going to be a big focus of what we're doing as we roll things out on Nantucket.
And you probably would like on your wish list a lot more families like that, right?
we do. And we have some other families who have come to us and said, we want to be an example. These folks who did it in the example I just shared, but there are other folks who have approached us in a similar manner.
You get the same thing, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, we've had probably half a dozen various property owners who approached us, either wanting to give their property to us in their will or selling, as Tucker had mentioned, at a discount their properties because they wanted to see that it remain year-round. And we have been able to oftentimes be able to use that if it's an existing house for ownership opportunities, as well as in some cases creating more. So it's been a really important way for people to give back, especially if they don't have heirs, or if in the case of the two inns that we purchased, they just felt like they were going to be able to do just as well by doing a discounted sale and be able to take the difference between what they would have earned and what they made as a tax-deductible donation.
Right. You talked a little bit earlier about the collaborations, especially with the conservation organizations. Is this a kind of collaboration that you'd like to see more of going forward? I mean, there are other entities that you could be collaborating with for something like this? I mean, how do you expand on what you're already doing, I guess, is the question.
Well, we've worked with a lot of other nonprofits. As I was mentioning before, our partnerships, we feel, is probably one of the most important aspects of what we do. We've, for instance, worked with a group called Harbor Homes. They're providing housing for homeless residents on the island. Again, we have a certain skill set and expertise in real estate, so being able to find properties that are suitable and then go through the process of raising the funds necessary to purchase those properties. And then at the end of the day, they own the house itself and we own the land and we steward that land as we would with any other property that we own. We're working, as I mentioned, with the Vineyard Transit Authority. So that's an example of where we're working with a municipal entity or a government entity to provide housing for their employees. Worked with a hospital. That was an important step forward in terms of really trying to help meet their needs because they're you need the significant.
Hospital. Yeah. Yeah. What, talk about on Nantucket, what kinds of collaborations? I know you're sort of getting started on this besides.
Yeah, I kind of hinted at one a few moments ago, and sorry, it's a little bit of a tease, but I can't jump into the details quite yet. But, when you're 30 miles out to sea, you're kind of all in it together. And, you know, folks try to look after one another and, do things in partnership or collaboration, because that's the only way to get things done on an island like Nantucket. And so we're trying to get different organizations to adopt a philosophy that actually I was exposed to a few years ago when the Vail Symposium brought me out for a panel, and I was introduced to the president of the Eagle Valley Land Trust, which is a conservation organization. And she was saying, very forward thinking, that anytime someone comes to them with a land opportunity, the first thing they do is ask themselves, what other community purpose could this land also go to serve? And obviously housing is top of the list out there as well. But we're trying to engender more of that kind of thinking.
Yeah. So Vail comes up a lot. Are we getting a lot of ideas from what's happening in Vail?
Absolutely. So the year-round restrictions that I was referring to before is a program called Indeed in Vail. And the city of Vail has invested considerable amount, millions of dollars, in purchasing deed restrictions from people whose property is valued at the market rate. But they're looking to take equity out of their property. Maybe they're getting older, or possibly a young family trying to purchase a home and they need some assistance in terms of down payment and so forth. So the city of Vail provides that, 10 to 15% of the purchase price or the value of the property in exchange for a year-round restriction.
So looking at going forward, are there zoning changes you would like to see on the islands that would help with your efforts, or are you feeling pretty comfortable with what you've got?
If you're giving out a magic wand, Mindy,
I would love to do that.
I'm going to go for the transfer fee.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. What about for you, Philippe?
In terms of zoning, we have two towns that have multifamily zoning on the island, but if all six towns had that, it would facilitate actually more control, local control over what we're currently doing without having to go to the state's 40B comprehensive permit. And then other measures, like I was mentioning before, where if we could do duplexes by right, where we could convert a single family house into a duplex, it would look the exact same. It wouldn't change anything, but it would allow for more people to be able to attain housing.
Sounds like a no-brainer to me. I don't know. All right, and then finally, we just got about a minute left. Final thoughts on, folks want more information? Well, I guess we can put a link to both your websites at our website, right?
Sure. We are being fiscally sponsored by the Community Foundation of Nantucket. If you go to their homepage, you can see us in the list of organizations that they work with. And of course, we would gladly take additional support for what we're trying to do.
Yeah. And lastly, question for you. Is anybody on the Cape reaching out for advice on what you're doing on the island?
Yeah, actually, interesting enough, last year, Tucker and I both went to the Cape conference here, which is coming up in a week or so. And there was discussion about a Cape-wide community land trust. There are some smaller land trusts currently in existence, but they were talking about trying to expand that for the entire Cape.
All right. Philippe Jordy, CEO of Island Housing Trust, and Tucker Holland, Executive Director of Nantucket Land Trust. Thank you both. And thanks for the really important work that you do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mindy.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
Is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Burdery and William Coulter.